Greetings, programs, and welcome to Quarks and Recreation, episode 6 on dinosaurs. I'm your co-host, Doug.
And I'm your other co-host, Brandon.
And we'll be going way back into the Triassic, Jurassic, and Cretaceous periods to cover the terrible lizards known as dinosaurs. Where do you want to start?
I know what started them, like...
That's a good question. Why did they become what they became, these giant monsters?
Yeah.
Well, the reason, if you look at any life form on Earth and you ask, why is it that way, the answer is always evolution. It means there's some advantage to being that way. So environmental pressures back in the late Triassic period obviously favored size as a way of surviving and ensuring your kids would do better. So if being larger gave you an advantage, that meant that your kids would also be large and they'd have an advantage. And that means it's more likely that they will reproduce and have kids of their own, whereas the smaller animals might not do as well. So you end up filling a what they would call a niche. Like there's a space for large animals to survive and do well, and you can fill that niche. That's in a nutshell how evolution works.
I mean, obviously they didn't do too well. They didn't last that long.
Well, we'll definitely talk about why they dropped off the face of the earth. They had a kind of a run of bad luck, but they actually did pretty well for a long time. Dinosaurs roamed the Earth for about 150 million years. So that's 15 times... Humans have only been around for about 1 million years. So they had a pretty good... track record for a long, long time.
But yet the alligator's still long, and it's been around since then. I mean, it was a little different back then, but I mean, it's still relatively the same.
Yeah, there are some animals from that... or life forms from that period that did survive through... what was called the KT mass extinction. That's sort of the technical term for that period. It's the end of the Cretaceous period. That's where the line is where the dinosaurs drop off. And there's actually been, it's actually not even the worst mass extinction in Earth's history, but periodically there have been times when up 80, 90% of life on the planet has been totally wiped out. And it's like if evolution was a game, it would be like if someone took the board, threw all the pieces, and then started the game over again. And if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be here. We're very lucky. If that had not gone the way it had gone, if things had turned out differently, there would be no humans. The dinosaurs might still be roaming the Earth, but for some environmental things that happened that changed the rules of the game and such that it gave mammals a chance to get an advantage and win.
Yeah, they obviously, they're not here anymore, really. So we can't really, we do know a lot about them, obviously, from fossils and bones, but not as much as we could know.
No, because unfortunately there's only so much you can tell from looking at the fossil record. It's very helpful, and we can actually learn quite a lot about them, but, you know, there'd be a lot more. It'd be nice to learn if we could find one, say, frozen in the ice that still had its skin and organs and DNA. That would tell us a lot more. But we've been able to find fossilized not only the bones, but sometimes there's evidence around the bones of, you know, for example, we now know that a lot of dinosaurs had feathers. It was originally,
wow.
Yeah. This actually was a fairly recent discovery. It was not only that some dinosaurs had feathers, but just this last week, there was a study published that showed that it looked like most of them had feathers. And if you look at modern birds, it's not too hard to see why. If you were to, you know, pick all of the bones and skin or the skin off of a bird and see what it looked like underneath, they do have many dinosaur-like features. And that was one of the things that scientists used to figure out that, in fact, modern birds are the living descendants of dinosaurs. They're some of what's left.
Wow.
After them.
Flying rats are dinosaurs. That's something strange to think about.
Yeah, and take a look at, say, look at a bald eagle. Look at the way its legs are put together, the way they attach to its body, the way its wingspan is. Look at an ostrich. That's another one. If you, say, look at, like, the way they do the raptors in Jurassic Park and then look at an ostrich, you'll see that the structure is roughly the same in terms of the way their legs attach to their body, the short arms. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things that are very different about an ostrich.
Yeah, they don't eat other animals that much.
No, but they've had there's been 65 million years worth of change since the dinosaurs were around. So, And again, different environmental pressures have pushed them in different directions. And you know, they've obviously gotten much better at flying for the most part than we think dinosaurs were. But again, they've had time to hone that advantage. And they've also shrunk over the last, you know, 50 million years.
Is it anywhat possible that, you know, the dinosaurs died in, like, when the disaster happened, like, within a couple thousand years or so? Or is it possible that any could possibly be left, like a small little dinosaur?
Like the Lost World idea that, you know, maybe somewhere there's an island where a few of them still managed to sneak through and survive?
Yeah.
You know, yes and no. There are certain animals that, like you mentioned, crocodiles that survived till today. So they are, in a sense, they are reptiles from the age of the dinosaurs that are still here, some turtles and things like that. So in a way, yes, they survive. But in terms of the gigantic ones, no. The things like an Apatosaurus, you know, or these humongous plant-eating things, or Tyrannosaurs, there's not an environment for them. One, our Earth is pretty well explored at this point, at least in terms of the land. Maybe somewhere in the depths of the sea. In fact, there's a fish called a coelacanth that famously was thought to be extinct for, you know, tens of millions of years, and until one day someone pulled one up in a fishing boat, and it turned out they're still around. They're just very, very deep. So to answer your main question about are there pockets where dinosaurs could still live, not only were most of them wiped out, but again, there's been 65 million years of evolutionary change. So even if some survived, they likely over time evolved into different forms, and maybe the dinosaur forms fell away. Now, evolution doesn't mean that when one life form arrives, then its competitors all immediately die out. I mean, look, humans evolved from apes, and there's still plenty of apes around. What it means is there's room for both. And there's still an evolutionary advantage to being a chimpanzee, even though humans are much, much smarter. You know, there's still room for both of them to live. So there could be places where the idea would be that, well, the dinosaurs didn't all die out. They evolved, and some of them evolved into different things, and others stayed the way they were. But the big problem is the environment is very different. In fact, the Earth's atmosphere, for example, was different in terms of how thick it was, the amount of oxygen content. And so there's some thought that, you know, now that the Earth's atmosphere is different, that dinosaurs, as they were then, would have a tough time living today.
Well, I have a two-part question just for myself. Well, did dinosaurs communicate with each other like we communicate, like right now?
You mean, could they speak to each other in some way?
Yeah, like a...
Well, there's no way of knowing that. I mean, we've yet to find a dinosaur tape recorder or a dino DVD of their home movies. Based on their jaw structure, it doesn't look like they could necessarily articulate words the way we could. And their brains are obviously very small, so there's no indication that they would have the organs in their brain that allow for complex language. But there's plenty of animals that do communicate to each other through various noises, and those noises still have some sort of information content. So dolphin squeaks, dog barks, bird tweets, all of those noises that they make are still a quote-unquote language. They would just be a very, very simple language. So it's entirely possible that they could, in theory, make noises to each other that would convey information in some way.
You know, I'd be careful to say that dinosaurs' brains are small, because if you watch Land of the Lost, a giant walnut could drop in front of you in the next couple minutes.
That's true, I suppose. Although I wouldn't go to Land of the Lost for science content necessarily. I have yet to see a slee stack in the fossil record, but the brain size isn't everything. There are plenty of animals that have larger brains in terms of just pure size than humans, but we're much smarter. It's not just the size of the brain. It has to do with how it's formed, the amount of folds, and the different what parts of the brain are bigger. We have a very large frontal cortex, and that's the part of the brain that does all of our heavy lifting in terms of complex thoughts. And
so,
language.
So if the dinosaurs could communicate in some language, the second part of my question was, mm-hmm. Are there British dinosaurs and Hispanic dinosaurs?
Would they have, there were dinosaurs in all parts of the world. I don't know that they would they would view race relations the same way we would. Mostly they would just eat each other and fight. And I don't know that the shape of the Earth was very different, too. So if you talk about British dinosaurs, I'm not sure if Great Britain existed at the time in the way it does now. It may have been partially underwater, or who knows.
Part of New England.
Well, yeah, actually, that also depends, because the dinosaurs were around for 150 million years. And when the dinosaurs first appeared, all the continents were still mostly together. And by the time the dinosaurs died out, the continents had drifted far enough apart that the Earth, it didn't quite look like the map you see today, but it was similar. You would make out what would become North and South America and Africa and all these different countries. Antarctica was a tropical place back then, so dinosaurs living there would have been living in a jungle-type environment.
Wow.
So, you know, 150 million years is a long, long time in terms of geology and evolution.
Yeah, so going on like this, what is the biggest dinosaur, you know, like the heaviest?
Well, the largest known dinosaur is called I think it's an Argentinosaurus, or it's in a family called Titanosaurs, and they're really huge. I don't have the stats on how big they are, but to give you an idea, I posted a picture on our Facebook feed and on Twitter of a scientist sitting next to what I think was a shin bone from one of these dinosaurs, and the shin bone alone is taller than the guy is.
Wow.
So they're very large. They're longer than a school bus. I mean, like, their tail is longer than a school bus. They're absolutely huge. And so they'd have to eat a lot. In fact, I found out that your average large-scale dinosaur, like an Apatosaurus, there's actually no such thing as a Brontosaurus, believe it or not. They were misnamed. Turns out they were, what we thought were Brontosauruses, were part of a different category of dinosaur. But anyway, dinosaurs of that size had to eat 100,000 calories a day to maintain your weight. The average adult human has to eat somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 calories.
So they eat about five times us.
No, more than that.
Oh, no. 50 times. Right. 500 times-ish.
So, yeah, exactly. About 50 times more than we had to eat in terms of calories a day. So you have to you have to spend a lot of time to just find that food and eat it. You've got to find, if you're an herbivore dinosaur, that means you eat plants. You've got to eat a lot of plants. It's all you do all day is find plants to eat. And if you're a carnivorous dinosaur, then you've got to eat a lot of other dinosaurs that's one of the reasons that when the dinosaurs died out is it takes a lot of food. And if the food supply gets short, the first animals to go are going to be the ones that need to eat the most.
The Tyrannosaurus had to probably ate a lot of meat, but the Brontosaurus, which they're not called Brontosauruses, are the big ones. Did Tyrannosauruses like eat them, but they're so big they could fight back? And
well, every dinosaur would need, any animal really, or any biological entity needs some offense and some defense, right? Because you have to be able to survive to have children. If you can't do that, whatever disadvantage you're at is going to die off. Evolution will take care of that. So if you're a big meat-eating or plant-eating dinosaur, yeah, you might not have the teeth or the speed, but you have mass. You're big. Like, think of, like, a football game. Like, if you're a big linebacker, you might not be quick, and you might not be the guy to run out and score the touchdown, but you can block a lot of people, and even if they hit you, it's not going to hurt that hard. Like, so if a Tyrannosaurus, even though they have, like, 10-inch fangs, like, if you're as big as an Apatosaurus or a Titanosaur, that 10-inch fang isn't actually going that deep. So, and they also have big tails to, like, whack things with. Or they might travel in large herds. Sometimes herding behavior is a way of handling predators, because you might, you know, if you're in a herd of 100 other animals, there might only be one Tyrannosaur for every 100 of you. So, yes, one of them is going to die, but if you've got the advantage in numbers, then it's less likely to be you that gets eaten. So you'll have lots of kids, and that's another way of dealing with it. So,
you know, it must have sucked for them, though. You know, the group of 100, it must have sucked if they had brains. I'm in a group of 100, I bet I'm not going to get, and 10 seconds later, you're on the floor being eaten. That's pretty bad odds for the one that didn't.
Yeah, but if you're the other 99 dinosaurs, you're going, phew, glad it's not me. You get off easy. That's why fish today swim in big schools. It's the same defense mechanism. It's, you know, if you're in a school of 1,000 fish, hopefully you're not the one. And again, all that matters for the purposes of evolution is whichever one continues to have children and survive. So one of the ways of ensuring, if you know you're going to get eaten a lot, you're just going to have lots and lots and lots of kids. And for that one fish that gets eaten, sure, that stinks. But if there's lots and lots of you, then your species will still move on and still survive. Did you want to talk about any specific kinds of dinosaurs or what their environments were like or anything like that?
The Stegosaurus, I kind of, sure. they interest me. Like they look like a tree. Not like a tree, but
they've got the plates and stuff on their back. That's another defense mechanism. It's armor. Those plates are armor, and it's very hard to bite down and sink your teeth into a stegosaur because they
hurt.
Well, yeah, you're not going to be able to bite into those plates. Those would be like a rhinoceros horn or a hoof or any other kind of hard substance like that. It's basically like bone or a turtle shell. That type of substance, no dinosaur is going to want to eat or be able to eat. So you've got to get onto the side, eat him from the side. And at that point, he's got that big tail with the spikes on it, so he can defend himself that way. So they're an interesting little breed. The Stegosaurus is also famous for having a part of its brain in its tail. There's lots of animals that use that kind of defense mechanism where you think, you know, your brain is kind of vulnerable. If it gets hurt, you're done. So spreading out some of the nerves helps to kind of make sure that all your sensitive vulnerable parts aren't in the same place. It also helps because dinosaurs are so large that it actually takes time for a nerve signal to get from one end of it to the other. So if someone were to bite its tail, the tail would want to react immediately rather than wait for that signal to get all the way to the stegosaur's brain and then go all the way back down to the other end of the dinosaur. So humans have this same basic idea. We don't have our brains in our tails, but we have a spinal cord. And so part of your nervous system is designed to react on its own without the need of your brain. So if you touch a hot stove, you'll pull your finger away really fast. And that's what will happen is the signal from the heat will get to your nerves and your spinal cord, and they know how to react on their own because you don't need to wait for that signal to get all the way up to your head and all the way back down to your hand again to move. So that defense mechanism has been around for a long time.
Yeah. Do they like certain dinosaurs like the living in like the really bad heat, like say they lived in like Nevada instead of like New York, like in
somewhere colder?
Yeah.
Well, there's still some debate among scientists as to whether or not they're warm or cold blooded. Certainly it seems like at least some of them were one and one some of them were the other. It's not entirely clear. Most reptiles today are cold-blooded, but then dinosaurs aren't exactly like modern reptiles. They are more bird-like, and birds are mostly warm-blooded. So somewhere along the line, they learn that evolutionary advantage. But like all animals, as Goldblum says in Jurassic Park, life finds a way, and that's true. If there's a spot where, hey, you know, there's no predators and there's really no competition, then dinosaurs that are able to take advantage of that spot will have no competition and they'll do really well. That's why you could find life on Earth in all kinds of crazy, unusual places where you'd think nothing can survive. It's because the few things that have even a 1% chance of surviving in that environment over time will learn how to, evolve to fulfill that role. But that's what's sort of a really cool thing about evolution is that given enough time, and here we're talking millions and millions of years, life can get pretty much anywhere. So dinosaurs would live in all of these different places because they have 150 million years to figure out how to do it.
Doug, if you had to pick a dinosaur that you'd have to be for the rest of your life, what dinosaur would you be?
I'd have to go... Well, technically, pterodactyls and pteranodons are not dinosaurs. They're their own category. But I'd have to go with one of them because who wouldn't want to fly? I think that's pretty cool. Otherwise, yeah, I'd go with them. Or a tyrannosaurus because nobody screws with a tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, no.
How about you?
I think I'd like to be the arm dinosaur. You might not be the fastest dinosaur, but you have a lot of defense mechanisms.
The arm dinosaur?
The
Stegosaurus.
Oh, the Stegosaurus.
Armored. Oh, armored. Yeah, there's them. There's the Ankylosauruses. Yeah. They have almost like a turtle shell on top and then like a big, like a mace, like a spiked ball for a tail that they can whack things with.
Yeah, I'd like to be cool. In the armored dinosaur group.
Yeah, that keeps you pretty safe. Well, we could go on to our internet is dumb section. So why don't we do that? We've got a pretty cool category for this one. Here we go.
The internet is dumb.
All right, this week on The Internet is Dumb, we are covering the Loch Ness Monster. Did you do any research on Nessie?
A little bit, you know, a little bit this morning and yesterday and the day before.
Yeah.
One of them, there was a picture,
It's that classic black and white one you always see, right?
One. It was almost like you're a helicopter and you're looking down and you see this 100-foot thing in the water. And that, to me, it's just, it's Photoshop. Photoshop or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the classic one, the black and white one.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that one is famously, eventually the guy who did it confessed and said, yeah, we faked that. So, but for years, that thing would show up on, like,
different TV.
Yeah, it would show up on TV shows, and they would talk about, you know, is this a real picture of Nessie? And I think finally, might have been in the 1990s or even in the 2000s, I think, the guy finally said, okay, we faked it. But it's not to say, again, we were talking a little earlier about, like, are there places where dinosaurs could still live today? Well,
water's a good one.
Water's a good one because it's mysterious. Loch Ness is, loch is a Scottish word that means lake. That's where our word lake kind of comes from. And so it would be an enclosed space. So it's, I don't know if Loch Ness is open to the ocean or not. I don't think it is. But the problem with it is the idea of, like, it's, you think you would have found it by now. It'd be hard to imagine a pliosaur just escaping notice for all of this time. But it's a great myth. The problem with it is you have to do something called disproving a negative. And what that means is it's very hard to disprove that something doesn't exist because, well, maybe you just haven't looked hard enough yet. You know, prove to me that there isn't such a thing as a unicorn. Well, how do
I love unicorns.
Yeah, but how do you disprove, you know, you'd have to, you can say, I've never seen one. There's no evidence anyone's ever seen one. But that doesn't mean they don't exist. It just means that there's no evidence that they do exist. So proving something has never happened or doesn't exist is kind of a tough order. So for scientists, what it means is you can't say it doesn't exist, but until you have hard proof that it does, you just can't say anything either way. That's how science has to work.
But, so he kind of was just, like, sick of this fame and everything. So he's just like, I faked it. How can you, like, photobomb or Photoshop things in the 60s?
Well, there were ways of doctoring photographs, even in the old days. But it was obviously, you couldn't do it digitally. It was much harder. You'd have to you'd use tricks. You'd take pictures of something from maybe very close up or very far away, and then you'd take that and you would physically cut that and move it into another picture. Doctoring photographs in the old days was much, much harder than it is now. But it could still be done. There were ways of doing it. So maybe we'll cover that on another episode. So that's it for Nessie. There's no evidence that Nessie does exist and no evidence that it doesn't exist, which means, as far as science goes, the jury's out. And but hey, if you want to go to Scotland and take a look for yourself, have fun. It's a great place to go. All right, I guess we should probably move on to talk about the extinction of the dinosaurs, since that's a big, important topic. You're making a kaboom motion with your hands.
Yeah. So the biggest, like, idea is the meteor, is in eastern Mexico?
Yes, there was a crater that was discovered. Well, first the idea of a meteor strike was proposed, I think, in either the late 70s or early 80s. They came up with this idea that maybe a meteor strike finished off the dinosaurs. But it wasn't until much later that they actually found not only the evidence of a crater in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, but it was the right age. It was a 65-million-year-old crater that was the right age and the right size, and it seems pretty clear that that's the smoking gun. The other evidence of this is that there is a very rare chemical element called iridium. It's not commonly found on Earth, but it is very commonly found in asteroids and places in space. So what that suggests is some kind of asteroid hit at that time period and scattered this stuff all over the world at the same time. Because if you look in rocks and layers of rocks, anytime you find a layer of rock that's 65 million years old, you'll find this layer of this chemical. So something obviously scattered it all over the world, and it looks like it was this impact back 65 million years ago.
And this crater isn't your typical 500, like, 100-foot deep crater. It's like maybe like a centimeter or an inch going down, or...
it's very
so small you can't tell.
Yeah, it's very slight. You wouldn't see it with your eyeballs. It wasn't found until they measured with satellites. They found it's a very, very slight circle now, because after 65 million years of wind and rain, it wears it away. But there's still just enough of a hint of it left to see that it's very clear there is a circle that is down there, and it's wide. It's about as wide as the distance between Houston, Texas, and Austin, Texas. That's how wide it is.
That's pretty big.
It's very big, and it was made by an object roughly, they think, maybe 6 miles wide, slamming into the Earth. That's pretty big. As asteroids go, it's not nearly the biggest, but in terms of damage here on Earth, it did a lot.
I mean, something the size of a car makes the damage it could, you know, the crater in Arizona, then 6 miles is going to make... Yeah, a lot,
especially because it would be traveling at tens of thousands of miles an hour. I mean, think of how much damage a bullet can do, and that's the size of, like, the tip of your finger. So imagine something 6 miles wide hitting you much, much faster than a bullet. it's horrendous. They would think there's sort of waves of death from this thing. So first, there was anything that was killed in the immediate impact of it. It would have sent a shower of hot, like, lava and rocks raining down for miles around, because it would blow all of this stuff out of the ground. It comes landing on things' heads, setting stuff on fire. There would be an earthquake, tsunamis. It might have also set off a lot of volcanoes. The interesting thing is there was a study published also this last week, I think, or maybe the week before, that said, you know, if that had happened at another point in the dinosaurs' period, they might have been able to survive it. But it was sort of like it was an unlucky event at an unlucky time. Not that obviously a lot of dinosaurs wouldn't have been killed immediately from it, but that it might not have wiped them out worldwide. That it appeared that food supplies were already dwindling. So it was sort of like they were kind of in a weakened position, and then this just finished them off. So an unlucky break for the dinosaurs.
I'm sorry, dinos. I'm sorry, alligators, that all your friends had to leave. I'm really sorry.
Well, they're okay. The alligators made it, and they get to hang out in Florida and, you know, bother tourists and stuff.
Yeah, so they get to go on those golf courses.
Yeah, so why don't we get to our mailbag here, and we'll answer some of your questions.
She wrote upon it, return to sender.
I don't want to read all this mail.
All right. Do you got any questions?
Well, I actually do. This is
okay.
Some guy in L.A.
Well, hello, some guy in L.A.
Yeah, hello, some guy. In the movie Jurassic Park, they use DNA to create new dinosaurs. Is anything like this possible?
That's a great question. We actually got this question from another person. Nina B. wrote to us and wrote basically the same question. Could dinosaurs come back to life like in Jurassic Park? Well, yes and no. We do know how to clone things. We've been able to clone things like sheep. But here's the thing about cloning. First of all, you need complete dinosaur DNA. And how do you know when you've got the whole thing? I mean, first you have to find it. You have to identify it as dinosaur DNA, and you have to have the complete molecule, because DNA, think of it this way, DNA is a recipe to make an organism. If you don't have all the ingredients, you're not going to get the organism. In fact, in the book and in the movie Jurassic Park, they talk about how they use, where they had gaps, they substituted in frog DNA to kind of fill in the gaps. You can't really do that. You can't just kind of go like, sure, here, have some frog DNA. Why not? You'd have to have a complete genome. And to do that, you'd have to have the cells from the dinosaur. So the problem is, what we've been able to find from dinosaurs are fossils. And fossils aren't actual bones of dinosaurs. What happens with fossils is a bone or a dinosaur body gets covered up with rocks and silt and water. And over time, what happens is the molecules that make up the bones disappear. They get eaten away by microbes and things, or they get washed away, but they leave an empty space, and the empty space gets filled with rock. So the fossils are actually rock that has filled in, just like you would make a cast of something. So there's no tissue there to actually pull DNA from. In Jurassic Park, they find it in mosquitoes trapped in amber, but when mosquitoes take blood, they don't just hang on to it. They're digesting it. So you would have to find a mosquito where the blood and the DNA hadn't been broken down by digestion, or you'd have to find something that maybe has been trapped in ice for a very, very long time, and then you could get the DNA, and then maybe you could bring it back to life. But even then,
not very likely.
Not likely. I mean, it'd be awesome if we could do it. The other problem with it is, you know, cloning is very difficult to do successfully. In fact, like for when they cloned Dolly the sheep, they had to make a whole bunch of clones that didn't turn out so good, like duds. And actually, in the second Jurassic Park book, and I think they talk about it in the movie as well, that the second island that they go to is like the original island from Jurassic Park is the showroom floor. It's the amusement park, and the other island is the factory, because for every like one nice looking Triceratops they turn out, they have to turn out 100 duds. So that's the where they make them. So it'd be very, very hard, even if we could get the DNA. But if we could actually get the DNA, yes, it could be it could be done.
And you can go.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. This is from Bob B.
Bob B, okay.
Okay. Can any dinosaurs, if dinosaurs were still here, can any dinosaurs be pets?
I guess it would depend. I mean, people have all kinds of pets. I mean, you hear about people that, like, keep tigers and stuff as pets, and then eventually, you know, it bites them. I don't know if they could be domesticated. Maybe? It'd be hard to say. We don't know very much about their behavior other than that, you know, some of them are hunters and others are herbivores and are probably less dangerous. But even then, you know, they're still wild animals. There's only a few animals that humans have been able to successfully domesticate into pets. Dogs, cats, birds. And it's taken humans a long, long time to do that. It took... for example, dogs, it took tens of thousands of years for humans to take wolves and breed them into dogs. But I suppose if any, it could be done. Sure, why not? You could certainly keep one somewhere unless some moron turns off the electric fences.
Yeah.
Here's a question. I guess we covered that one, which is why did dinosaurs get so large? Thanks, Hannah M. asked us that question. And then finally, Orion W. asked us, what is your favorite dinosaur? I think we covered that as well, actually. Or which one could you be? Do you have another one that's a favorite if you didn't want to be that dinosaur?
Like a favorite dinosaur?
Yeah.
I like the T-Rexes because they no one's going to mess with them. So
They do have tiny little arms, though.
Yeah,
that's a bummer. Yeah, they can't.
They're not going to grab their predator.
No, they can't fold their laundry or, you know, play tennis or do anything. Yeah, their arms are kind of useful. But other than that, they're pretty cool.
They'd probably be pretty good at baseball, you know.
That's true.
Those inside pitches, you know.
Yeah, they're bunting only for T-Rex. Yeah. have you got any other questions?
Yeah, okay. I have two more.
All right,
and
awesome.
This is from Al L.
Al L, okay.
What do dinosaurs
Cal
eat?
L or Al L?
Al.
Okay.
Al L.
Not Superman. All right.
Okay. What do dinosaurs eat? This is from... We kind of covered this.
What do they eat? I mean, they eat all kinds of things. It depends on... There's so many... There's not just, like, five kinds of dinosaurs. Think of it like, how many kinds of animals are there now? The world is full of all sorts of different things, and they'll eat whatever food source is available. And if there's a food source that they can exploit better, then they'll survive better, and they'll have kids who can use that food source. And if that food source dries up, then they'll stop surviving. But there's some that eat meat, there's some that eat vegetables. They would eat different types of things, and you could tell by looking at their teeth, for example, what sorts of things they ate. So if they have long, pointy, scary teeth, those are good for ripping and meat. Those are the meat eaters. If they've got kind of flat teeth, like your molars, those are good for grinding and chewing up plants. Some animals would be omnivores, like we are. We're good at eating both types of things. We've got some sort of pointy teeth in the front that are sharp, and we've got some flat ones in the back. So we can kind of handle both. And there were dinosaurs that could handle all sorts of things. And some dinosaurs didn't even have teeth. Some of them, you know, like duckbills and things, they might have, you know, you just sucked up kind of mushy plants and things like that.
And then another question from Zeke L.
Zeke L, okay.
Are dinosaurs smart? Are they self-aware?
Well, there's no way of knowing if they were self-aware. We kind of talked about this with the language things a little bit. Their brains are very different than ours. They're closer to things like modern reptiles and birds. But we know that some of them definitely had some smarts. We know that they were able to hunt in packs and work together. I would imagine over 150 million years, there were definitely some that were smarter than others. I don't know about some that would be on the level of humans. But, you know, you look at smart animals now like chimps, dolphins, dogs, pigs. There's a lot of very smart animals out there, even though they can't, they're not going to write a play or they're not going to do any mathematics. They can still problem solve and, you know, do certain things. But yeah, we've yet to see evidence that Dinosaurs could use tools, for example, or things like that. But sure, they were very. It depends on what you mean by smart, I guess, is the question. So
I mean, like if obviously, like you see in the movies, like when a animal, like a dinosaur's eggs got destroyed, they get pretty mad. I mean, that's
We would think they would still have instincts too. Like I mean, they would still have, like you see plenty of animals that have parental instincts to protect their young, and those are things that they would evolve, because animals that didn't have that instinct to protect their kids, well, their kids aren't going to live, and if their kids aren't going to live and have more kids, their species is going to die out. So those kinds of instincts evolve over time, because the animals that do take care of their kids, that can hunt better and teach them how to care for themselves, their kids are going to do better, and that means they're going to survive. And the same thing is true of humans today. If you do a good job raising your kids, they'll probably turn out all right, and they'll be able to take care of themselves and have more kids that do okay.
And then this other question is kind of from me and,
okay.
Like, in general, and it kind of has to do something we covered earlier, but, you know, Godzilla came from, like, like when dinosaurs were around, and then somehow he got, like, saved, and then he came back, or blah.
Well, there's lots of versions of Godzilla. Yeah, so I admit I have not seen the most recent one. Have you?
Yeah, I actually did. Okay. So I'm just like, can a dinosaur be like saved for 65 million then years, and then tomorrow can it like come out at what it does and like?
Could an animal be frozen and then unfrozen?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of an interesting question. For large animals, it doesn't seem that way. It would seem that the process of freezing something, especially for that length of time, you know. Your heart needs to beat. Your cells need to get oxygen and energy to live. Right. And, you know, there's an idea that you could slow that process down, but I don't think you could slow it down to the point where you could live for 65 million years. There are animals, though, microbes, that can survive for extremely long periods of time in sort of a deep freeze. We find them even in places in Antarctica where things have been frozen for a long time. You can unfreeze them and they'll come back to life. There's a microbe called a water bear. It doesn't look anything like a bear. It's just the name. It looks kind of more like a little caterpillar, but they're very, very tiny. They're all over the place. They're very common, but they're microscopic. They can actually live in the vacuum of space for a little while. So, but yeah, as far as a skyscraper-sized animal that has been frozen for 65 million years, I think we'll have to call that a no.
Okay. Sorry, Godzilla.
Yeah, sorry, Godzilla, but... You know, still cool to put them in movies and have them battle Mothra and stuff.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah. So I think that'll about wrap it up for the dinosaurs. If you liked what we do here, you want to send us questions, you can tweet us at Quarks and Rec, or go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Quarks and Rec, or go to just quarksandrec.com, which is our regular website. You can submit questions anywhere through there. If you like us, subscribe on iTunes and review us highly, because that helps us with our visibility.
Yay!
Yay, visibility! And also, we should probably talk about what we're going to cover next time. On our next episode, we'll be covering aliens. We're going to do extraterrestrial life, so that'll be pretty fun. So if you got your questions or anything you want to talk about with extraterrestrials, send it our way. And until next time, I'm Doug.
I'm Brandy.
Thanks so much, guys. Goodbye.
Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are